Thanks, Pastor Jason. Good evening, church. It's good to be together. We're all in these two rows. This is amazing. Oh, you herded them in. Pastor Doug herded the flock. They were obedient, yeah. This is great. Do you ever feel bad asking someone for help with something? I think sometimes when we have a favor to ask someone, there's a little bit of guilt attached. It depends on the situation and the relationship, right? If you're friends with someone and you know them pretty well and you've given and taken in that relationship and you've been there for them and they've been there for you, it's usually no guilt if you need something. You need a help with moving or you need help with a project or whatever it is. Even if you have an acquaintance and they know that you care about them and you're close enough that you can ask them a favor without it being awkward, like that's still okay. But sometimes there are relationships in our life where it seems like it's only if someone needs something that we contact each other. Have you ever had a relationship like that? I have. And sometimes that's where a little bit of guilt may be warranted because it's you're thinking, I don't know if I should ask for help. I don't know if that's okay. I don't know. Maybe I should get to know them first before I need something from them. It can be interesting. A couple weeks ago, though, we talked about the Lord's Prayer and the first half of the Lord's Prayer. And so we talked about keeping His name holy. We talked about His kingdom coming soon. And we talked about what's the third one? His will being done. Thank you, Pastor Doug. It's been a long day. We talked about those three things, and that's a great way to start a prayer, and I think it's no coincidence that Jesus outlined those three things at the start of the prayer. And so Jesus said, you remember He said, when you pray, pray like this. And so we start off by asking for the will of God to be the focus, and that's a great place to start, but He doesn't leave us there, does He? There's another half to the prayer. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the second half of the Lord's Prayer because Jesus says, you're going to need help. You're going to need help and you need to ask for it. You don't just focus on God alone to the point where you don't ever pray for yourself. He says, no, you need help. And it's okay to ask in this circumstance. It's okay to ask when your heart is centered on the will of God. So it's like the psalmist David said in Psalm 121, he said this, he said, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So who do we turn to for help when we need it? It's not just a friend, it's our Father. And that's something we don't have to feel guilt with. We go to Him. We go to Him when we're in need. So let's look at this. Matthew 6, 11 to 13, as Jesus teaches us to pray like this. Matthew 6, 11 to 13. He says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is our model for praying and it's the second half of the Lord's Prayer and it's beautiful, isn't it? So number one, Jesus teaches us, he says, pray for this. We pray for provision. This is biblical. We say, give us this day our daily bread. And that's what Jesus is teaching us to pray. You know, it's interesting though, what Jesus says before this part. Before He even goes into the prayer, what does Jesus say when He's prefacing this whole thing? In Matthew 6, 7, look at this. He says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. In this part, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. We talked about this in our Saturday morning prayer group this week, but Jesus starts this prayer by saying, there's a massive God who knows our every need, and He's also compassionate over overwhelmingly compassionate that He cares about every need. And yet Jesus says to pray for this anyway. And He says, ask anyway, even though God knows every need. And we're needy people, aren't we, as human beings? We're buying things, and it's expensive, but it's exciting. We're buying car seats, and we just got a stroller, a double stroller, and we're getting, and Sarah got these diapers. It's like every day she's showing me something new, and that's I think that's a good thing. And so, you know, but it's funny, as soon as we're born, right, we're crying out for help. We're crying out for help, and we're crying out for things that will feed us and give us strength, and we can't do this on our own. And so as a baby, we're crying out for milk. We're crying out for warmth. We need sleep. We know we need someone to hold us and care for us. And all of these things, we can't fill these needs. We need help. And even as we grow up and maybe we start to learn how to feed ourselves, you know, I remember when I first moved out and I had to start cooking for myself, that took a little while to learn. Because I gotta feed myself. My mom's not gonna cook things for me. And then thank the Lord that you learn by fire sometimes in those situations. And I'm okay. I'm an okay cook. I think Sarah's gotten better at cooking than me though. But even as we grow up, we still need knowledge. We still need skills, and we just don't learn things. We need someone to teach us, right? And we need money, and we need a job, and we need these things from outside of ourselves. And God knows all these needs. And Jesus, knowing how needy we are, he says, God knows and cares, but this outside source and this giver and sustainer of our lives, whether we like it or not, know about it or not, the reason we're here today is because there's a thing called providence, divine providence, and that whether people acknowledge him as the Lord or not, he has been caring for us up until this point. From the moment we were conceived, the Lord has been taking care of us. And so Jesus has this picture of God for us as our creator and sustainer, and he doesn't end there. He says, ask for bread. So why pray that? Why ask for bread if we've been cared for up until this point without even asking many times? Maybe sometimes, you know, God does use our prayer as the means for doing things. Again, he uses our prayer to intervene in this world. But what if our prayers are more than just us asking, but God changing us while we pray? And Mark Batterson talks about this in the Draw the Circle. Our prayers are changing us. Our prayers are changing us. And so you know the story in Exodus 16 of manna in the desert, right? And so there's these Israelites, and you know the story. God has delivered them from Egypt. The Red Sea was parted. They're in the desert, and all these miracles had happened. And in the desert, what happens? They become like babies again. They're helpless. And so all of a sudden, there's no bread, and they can't make bread, and they can't bake bread. And so they start crying out for bread, and they're depleted and helpless. They're babies. But we know that God has led them into this desert, and maybe it's to train these people who their God is and who their provider is in the first place. And because they were in Egypt and they had become accustomed to pagan gods, but maybe this was a process for teaching them how to trust him and rely on him, right? And so every morning, God says, get up, go out, and get that flaky substance that'll be on the ground and pick it up. That's your daily bread, literally your daily bread. And the Jews who heard Jesus say this would have thought about that. Oh yeah, our ancestors, God literally provided daily bread for them. Some of us are, you know, in the West, we're so accustomed to being self-sustaining and self-sufficient, though, that we don't pray this very often. With each of these prayers, there's a reason not to pray them. You know, and I think I often only pray, give me my bread, Lord, if I'm in a really dark place. But Jesus outlines this prayer like it's something we should pray often. Some of us are so accustomed to providing for ourselves that we don't really pray this very often, right? But whether we're working or not, where does our provision come from? Well, David says this in Psalm 104. He says, you cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth. So for people like me, who can easily forget, you know, where my provision is coming from, who puts bread on the table? Is it me? I get to participate, but my provision has to come from God. You know, we're born helpless, and we're going to be, at the end of our life, we'll become helpless again. And there's moments in our life when we can't earn a penny, and yet God is providing for us. Isn't that true? Many of us who've had illness, many of us who've been sick or who can't work, and yet God is providing and providing and providing. And it's just a picture of, like the Israelites, we have a provider, and we're not the ones who put bread on the table. It's the Lord. And we know this, but even still, maybe even in this room, right now, we can carry so much anxiety about making ends meet. You know, I can. So much. And so into that anxiety, Jesus is speaking and saying, remind yourself where your bread is coming from. Remind yourself of who's giving you your sustenance. And lift up your eyes to the Father, the sustainer of life. Even right now, if you have a financial need, just think about that thing. Whatever it is, a health need, whatever it is, and just in your heart, just, Lord, give us our daily bread, Lord. As you taught us to pray, we trust you for our daily bread tonight. In Jesus' name. Because God is a God of provision, and his provision is granted to us. I love the story of Abraham in Genesis 22, right? God says, sacrifice your only son, Isaac. And Abraham says, okay. And he goes, and then look at this. The text says, then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, meaning the Lord will provide. This God that we come to when we pray for provision, provision is so important to him. It's woven into his name. It's woven into his nature. The Lord will provide. This is a name of God. He is the provider. And so no matter how old or young we are, Jesus would say to us and remind us today again, don't stop praying this. Don't stop asking for daily bread, because the Lord is the one who gives, and we need reminders of who we're dependent on. Amen? We need that reminder. The Lord gives us our daily bread. Secondly, you know, the Lord gives us forgiveness, and Jesus says, pray for forgiveness. Jesus is our daily bread. He's the bread of life, and Jesus is more than that, isn't he? He's the reason why we can have a clean slate. Matthew 6:12, he says, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. In this text, Jesus uses this image of debts, right? It's a pretty graphic image. None of us like that word, debt, and for good reason. There, you know, I looked up some stats this week. The U.S. federal debt, the United States federal debt as of right now, is well over $21 trillion. It's approaching $22 trillion. And I'm not an economist, but I know my basic numbers. And something tells me that's a lot of debt. And so if you had a line of payment, or you had a credit card that could take on that payment, my guess is if you could live forever and work at the same job forever, and some of you, that's a nightmare, but the Lord has provided you that job. If you could do it forever, it would take you millennia to pay that off. Like, that is a massive debt. And I'm sure many of our American brothers and sisters are tired of hearing about this, because it's on the news, it's everywhere, it's a problem. And we think of them and those people in need. But this picture, you know, and back in the day, the farmers needing to borrow plants and harvest their crops, credit being given to customers, this debt applied to sin, this is an insurmountable debt. And we know this, right? And so Jesus is saying, human beings owe God, and we can't pay it. Only the Lord can give out his grace and mercy and forgiveness. But why do we try to avoid praying this prayer sometimes? Well, maybe not so much Christians, but in some senses we can. We'll get to that. But many people in the world will try other means of dealing with this. Here's what I mean. We have guilt. I remember even before I was following the Lord, I knew I had a conscience, okay? And many of us have that experience. Before we're even following God, we have a conscience, don't we? And in some ways, we do know when something is wrong and when something is right, in some basic senses, of course. And so I remember before I was following the Lord, I had all this guilt, and I had all this anger and anxiety and shame, and I was carrying it around. And how I tried to manage it was one of three ways. And this is very common. First thing, I tried to suppress it. And so I actually really have a positive view of Christian counselors. I've seen a Christian counselor myself at different times in my life when I've needed to for insight into things going on. I think it can be a very healthy outlet. But there are certain types of counseling and psychology where if a person is coming in with moral guilt and their right to be guilty, the person will teach them, you know, you got to let go of that. You got to suppress that. Morality is relative. This is not something that should be weighing you down. Be free, be yourself, right? And so we try to just suppress it. Secondly, the other thing is we try to resolve it on our own. How many other religions are there today teaching people that they can deal with this issue by being better, by working harder, by trying harder? Some faithful people who really care are being led astray by telling them that they can earn forgiveness, they can earn these things, and we can never resolve it on our own, can we? Or thirdly, we just embrace guilt. You know, if something is bothering us and we're doing it anyway, often we can just get to the point where we normalize guilt and accept it, and it just becomes not even guilt anymore. It's just a part of life. But Jesus, knowing our hearts and knowing that there's no other way, he says, yeah, you're going to have to run to God. You're going to have to run to him with the debt and say often, forgive us our sins. And it's this idea of living in repentance, right? Living in repentance, having confession, part of our normal prayers, our prayer life. And there's, you know, sometimes we wonder, why do we confess sin if we've been forgiven of everything anyways? Have you ever thought about that? Like, why do we pray, God, forgive us our sins, if Jesus has forgiven us once for all? And, you know, it's interesting. Paul says in Colossians 2:13, he says, you were dead in your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the debt against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. So Paul is saying all your debts have been forgiven. All of them have been dealt with, right? And yet Jesus says, no, pray often, forgive us our sins. So why is that? I think sometimes as Christians, we have a bit of an Adam and Eve problem. So Adam and Eve, right? They took the forbidden fruit, they eat of the fruit, and they fall. And then what do they do next? Well, they hide. And so they get these fig leaves, and like you can picture it, them just grabbing these things, anything to cover up their shame, and they're hiding. And the Lord, who knows everything, he knows what they did, he knows where they are, but remember what he does? It says the Lord came among them and said, where are you, to the man? Where are you? Where are you? And sometimes, you know, whether we fall short and sin in a big way or a little way, intentionally or unintentionally too, in our moral lives, sometimes when we do that, we want to ignore the issue and kind of hide from it. And we can spiritualize this. So we can say, you know, I sinned, but Christ has dealt with it. And I don't want to think about it again. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to even pray about it. I'm just going to live my life and try to do better next time. But I want to say that Jesus doesn't allow us to do that. Jesus actually says, no, you have to plunge into this. You have to ask the Lord, forgive us our debts, and come back to that again and again. And it's not getting forgiveness afresh as in the sense of Christ dying again. No, it's a complete work, but we need to acknowledge what we've done and call it what it is. And we need to receive afresh the complete forgiveness of God. In our experience, don't we? This has to become a normal part of our life. And it's not because God doesn't know it, or you know what? We need this. And we call this walking in the light. John says it like this, and I love how he words this. In 1 John 5, I think the next slide? Go to that? Yeah, there you go, thanks. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That cleansing is a continuous cleansing. It's continually happening. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John is saying walking in the light involves this confession. Do you hear what I'm saying? Walking in the light means acknowledging what we've done and means coming to Christ who's forgiven us completely, but we receive afresh that experience. Do you know what I'm, you know what I mean? When you receive the mercy of God again in your heart, it's like the guilt is lifted. The shame is lifted, and we need that. We need that. And even beyond that, you know, when we do pray, God, forgive us our sins, there's a responsibility we have, because what does Jesus say right after that? He says, as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Just like we can't pray for God's name to be hallowed if we're not keeping it holy, Jesus is saying, if you're going to ask for forgiveness, you have to be the hands and feet of forgiveness too, right? You have to, you're responsible to forgive others. Can someone even receive God's forgiveness if they're holding a lot of hatred in their heart towards someone else? Is someone's heart even soft enough to be receiving God's forgiveness if they have hatred towards someone? No. If we're able to receive God's forgiveness, we must be able to forgive other people. They go tandem, don't they? They go in tandem. And so Jesus assures us, you're coming to a God, a forgiving God, and this is a God of forgiveness, and his forgiveness is granted to us when we pray. Ephesians 2:4 says, for God is rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that when we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Friends, how many of you know? It's not because we're so lovely that we're forgiven. It's not because we're so lovely that God had mercy on us. It's the opposite, isn't it? We're so unlovely that God's mercy is expounded all the more by what he's done. And so we receive that. This is a God who's filled with mercy. And so we cry, forgive us of our sins in our daily life. And God responds, I am the God of forgiveness, and my righteousness is yours. And it's belonged to you since you were saved, and I'll let you experience that afresh again, and I'll wash you down to the bone. This is our God. We pray, forgive us our sins. And then thirdly, we pray for deliverance. And so this is a hard topic. Matthew 6:13, Jesus said, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's say you're driving on the highway, and smoke starts coming out of your radiator or your front end. And maybe it's a smell of burnt rubber, or maybe, you know, maybe your tire gives out and you hear the and then you got to pull over and stop. And maybe it's a long fix and it's an inconvenience and all that, you know, it's cold outside and it's in Alberta weather. And how many of you know that in that moment, there's an opportunity to not be a Christian? There's a real opportunity there. Why? Because all of a sudden you're put to the test, right? You're put to the test. Your Christianity is up against a problem. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. This word temptation is testing. It's temptation. Testing leads oftentimes to opportunities for moral failure. And so whether we're in that car and all of a sudden the smoke starts coming out and the immediate reaction is to swear or to curse, or whether it's to turn to the person beside you and to lash out at them, even though they had nothing to do with it, or whether it's, you know, just to lose faith and to suddenly get really pessimistic and down and you're like, oh, this is not good. Nothing's going to work out. Whatever it is, you're put to the test. And Jesus, knowing how weak we are, says that this should be a prayer that you pray often too. And it's sobering. Look what Jesus said to Peter. Jesus actually prayed this for his disciples, and he prays it for us. In Luke 22, this is really profound. Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I've pleaded in prayer that your faith should not fail. Can you think of a more sobering thing to hear? Imagine you're Peter, and you hear Jesus say this, and Satan apparently has his eyes on you. Like you personally. And Jesus is saying, your faith was about to be shredded and I prayed for you. And we know what happens, right? Peter betrays the Lord and Peter is grieved and grieved and grieved. But what this is saying, Jesus is saying, is that there was a great opportunity for something much worse to happen to Peter. Peter could have been destroyed completely because of his sin. He could have been overcome. And we think of what happened to Judas, but Jesus prays for him. Deliver him, Father. Deliver him from temptation. Deliver him from evil. That's a sobering thing. And so we're supposed to pray for this, but what gets in the way of us praying for this? Well, this is tough. Because you know what Peter said to Jesus after this? He says, I would go to prison for you, Lord. What are you talking about? Surely this won't happen. That attitude that I'm not going to fall, I'm not that close to the precipice is one of the most dangerous attitudes we can have. And yet we're all close to it. And Jesus is saying, don't ever, ever think that you're so strong that you can't fall into moral failure. He says, you need to remind yourselves that you're close and that Satan wants to sift you like wheat too. And you need to pray and cry out to God to help you. And that's tough. And we can think, I don't know if this applies to me. And I can think that, but you know, can I speak frankly? Sometimes we're proud. Sometimes we're proud and we don't think this can be us. And so like an alcoholic who goes back to the bar to hang out with the friends and puts himself in a dangerous place, or like a person who struggles with sexual temptation and they start becoming physical with their dating partner, whoever, you know, or a married person who is getting a little too close to the fire with someone from the opposite sex. We can think, oh, that's not going to be me. None of us are far from this. And I say this with all humility and acceptance of my own weakness, because that's me. You know, I can be deceived too. But look what Paul said to the Corinthians in First Corinthians 10. He says, if you think you're standing strong, you be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. So when you're tempted, he'll show you a way out. So friends, flee. Flee from the worship of idols. In this instance, what's happening here is there's these Corinthian believers who were doing something. They were called eating at idol feasts, right? And so what would happen is in pagan temples, and they would offer these food offerings of sacrifices to the gods, and they would do worship ceremonies, and then they would take that food, and they would go and put it on a table, and they'd all have a big banquet and dine and celebrate and enjoy, and it would turn into revelry, right? And so there's these Corinthian Christians who are going to the feasts, maybe not the worship, but the feasts. And that led to all sorts of things. And Paul actually says right after this, he says, you think you're standing, but you're actually eating at the table of demons. And it's a sobering thing he tells them there. What seemed to be harmless was actually the very brink for these people. And so Jesus says, Father, lead us far from this. Pray, deliver us from evil. And we need it. Friends, we need the Lord's deliverance right now. If we are avoiding confessing our sins to one another, people we can trust, if we're withholding that because it's too hard, we are close to danger. James says, confess to one another. We need the Lord's deliverance if we're pretending like things are better than they are, when in reality we have a need and we need help. We need the Lord's deliverance when we're trying to solve our own temptations in our own strength. We can't. We need help. And so if we're slipping, Jesus would say, wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up. Don't slide. Ask the Lord. He'll save you. He's the deliverer. And our God is a God of deliverance. His deliverance is granted to us. In 2 Samuel, David said this, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my savior. He saved me from my enemies. If we're intimidated by this message, that's a good thing. But then there's got to be the follow-up. It's that our Lord is bigger. Our Lord is bigger. He's the deliverer. This is his nature. And sometimes, you know, Satan will do all sorts of things to deceive us and to keep us in habitual sin, won't he? He'll say, you don't have a choice. You've gone too far. Your brain is rewired. All these different things. He'll say, but Corinthians says there's always a way of escape. There's always a way out. There is always a path of deliverance. There is, and we can't let the enemy lie to us here. You know, one of my favorite preachers says this. He says, if you were in a life and death situation, And that habitual sin that you were considering committing again, that you felt it was inevitable because you failed so much, if you were in a life and death situation, would you still do that thing? If your life depended on it, would you still commit that sin? Probably not. But Satan will deceive us and say we must. Do you hear what I'm saying? And Jesus says, there's a deliverer, there's a deliverance, and it's available to you. It's available to you. Romans 8:33, he says, Paul says, who dares accuse us? Who will condemn us? No one. Christ died and was raised to life, and then this. He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, and he's doing what? He's pleading for us. Just like anything, we think, oh, I got to pray, and that. I don't even know if I can take one step forward. I'm so broken down with temptation. But that's it doesn't start with us. Jesus is already pleading for us. Jesus is already interceding for us. That's grace, isn't it? It starts with the Lord enabling us in the first place. He's praying. He's got a way out. And grace is available. It might burn for a time, but we got to get in the light, don't we? And walk in the light. And our deliverer will walk with us every step of the way so that we can pray what Paul said at the end of his life in 2 Timothy. He says, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Isn't that profound? Can we receive that prayer? Can you say that with me? The Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Can we receive that tonight? Our deliverance is real. And it's coming, and it's coming swiftly. And in the moment when we're about to fall, Jesus says, just cry out. And God is available to you. David said, I lift up my eyes, my help comes from the Lord. For provision and need and want, God is our daily bread. Pray for that bread to be given. For the forgiveness of our debts, God is our great merciful God, the forgiving God who forgives us and cleanses us. And for the time of testing and temptation, Jesus says there's a deliverer and he is right there pleading for you, pleading for us that we might not fall, but that our faith would be strong. Amen. Our help comes from nowhere and no one else but the Lord our God. And that's a good word. At this time, we're going to take some time to pray for you and to pray and agree with you together in prayer. And so I guess we'll go into worship here, but can we bow in prayer and just stand right now together too? Lord, I know this isn't an easy word in many ways. This isn't an easy thing to talk about, the deliverance from evil and the reality of temptation. But Father, you said we were supposed to pray this. And so we want to align to your word and we want to submit ourselves to you, God. And so we do call out to you, Father, would you provide for our needs, Lord? Provide daily bread for everyone who is in need today. Financial, health, emotional, mental, spiritual. Lord, would you minister your bread as we even meet now and pray in a few minutes? Would you minister your bread? Even someone today came up to me and said that they're looking for work. Father, would you provide jobs? Because provision comes from you. It's not from us. We want to work hard and work excellently, Lord, but you're the God who gives bread. And we thank you. And Lord, for our forgiveness. We don't want to be a people who pretend and hide from our issues, Lord. We want to acknowledge them and receive the mercy and the cleansing and the washing that comes from just coming to you and saying, Jesus, have mercy on me and wash me afresh today. And let that impact us so much that we go out and forgive others too and not hold it against them, God. We want to be a conduit of your mercy. And lastly, Lord, we ask you for our deliverance, Jesus. We ask you for deliverance from evil and the evil one and temptation and trials and testing. Lord, you know what we struggle with. And there may be things that in our hearts we're convicted of, even in sharing that, and it's tough to hear, and we don't want to talk about it. But Lord, have mercy on us and deliver us tonight. Deliver us again and again like you always do because you're pleading for us. You're rooting for us. Your spirit lives within us and you've given us each other to hold one another up. You're a deliverer and we thank you for your deliverance tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a need or you want prayer, would you just come right now? Would you come to the front? And then Pastor Doug and Pastor Kyle and myself would love to just agree with you in those things in prayer, whether it's provision or forgiveness or deliver, whatever it is. Can we come together and pray? So just come right now, even as we sing, and we'll just agree with the Lord together in prayer.
I lift my eyes to the mountains. Yes, Lord, my help comes from you, the maker of heaven, creator of the earth. You know, one of the things that we just really love about the mix, and Pastor Sue's here, she's going to pray for people too as you come, is it just gives us time to come and just to sit. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who is our daily provider? He gives us our daily bread. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who is our forgiver? So just come on and just even sit here. Sit at the altar. Let's just take a few minutes. We're not going to take a long time, but it'll give us time just to ask you, is there something we can stand with you in prayer for? Is there something that we can agree with you for? And you can share that with us, just knowing that we're just going to right here at the altar, just be sharing with one another's brothers and sisters. And so just come and even feel free. You could sit or kneel, you know, just be comfortable. And we're going to take the next, 10 or 15 minutes. And so don't feel hesitant. Pastor Jason, you want to start singing that again? And we'd love to pray with you. Just come on up as we're here, and we'll take time to do that.
To the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from you, to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. To the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven,
the Lord, for in His name there are miracles. We speak, nothing is incurable. We know that nothing is impossible, for in His name there are miracles. Till the end,
we speak happiness to be restored. Rise up
and give the glory to the Lord.
To the one who's worthy of
speak life.
We speak life in the name of Jesus. There is healing flowing in this place as we lift our voice in faith and we give all the praise to the one who's worthy of all glory. Jesus is his name. So we lift our voice in praise.
Ooh. Our God is more than able. Our God will never fail.
He is always with us. He is faithful till the end.
Father, we're thankful that we have been found in your house this evening. And unashamedly, we pray, give us today our daily bread. Thank you that you're a provider. So gratefully, we were able to pray, forgive us our debts, that debt we could not pay. And Lord, we just thank you that we will forgive as we have been forgiven. We will forgive as we have been forgiven. And I want to thank you too, Father, that you will deliver us from all evil, and you will not lead us into temptation. Thank you, Father, that you're changing us from glory to glory. And I just pray your grace upon us as we walk from this place, Lord, that we will walk drawn closer into that love relationship with Jesus. I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said together, thank you, Pastor Carson. That was a good word tonight. Trust that you were strengthened this evening. And remember to pray for next Sunday. We have a water baptismal service and a Holy Spirit emphasis service in the mix. Let's be praying for that, that God would move according to his grace. Thanks, everyone. God bless you. Have a great week.